And we're back here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. The Rock getting set to take on the Gannon Golden Knights. And the Rock led by head coach Sean Lutz in his 23rd year overall here at the Rock. Now 23-8 in his three-year tenure as the head coach. Brad Radzicki is the head coach at Gannon. He's now in his seventh season, an overall record of 35-39. He's led the team to three winning seasons. One of those will not be this year as the Golden Knights come in at 2-7. Both of their wins are in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division. This is a team that actually beat California a few weeks back, so this is not going to be a pushover game at all here today. We'll talk more about the day ahead and what is in store, but first let's join Glenn Thompson, who's down on the field with Slippery Rock University head coach Sean Lutz.
Getting set for kickoff, joined right now by Rock head coach Sean Lutz. Coach, it's the final regular season game of the year for you. Let's start with the injury update for your team before you get ready for Gannon.
Colton Robb's the biggest guy. He's on their offensive line. He's been a mainstay on the offensive line. He'll be out this week with a shoulder. Besides that, at this point, we got everybody back. Everybody's banged up a little bit with some bumps and bruises, but ready to go.
Outside of the white line, say, there's a lot going on. Regional rankings, PSAC championship next week. Is your team mentally focused on Gannon as the opponent in today's game?
No question about it. We could have lost them easily last year. Anytime you got that running back, Marcus Jones, who's an NFL prospect, PSAC West play, there's a lot on the line. We have a chance to go to the national playoffs. So Lost State, it's going to be a lot tougher. So we respect Gannon a lot, and they don't like us. We don't like them. It's going to be a heck of a football game.
If you look up workhorse, Wes Hills has been it the past few weeks for you. More of the same today? You're going to try to take some load off of him before you get ready for these next couple weeks?
We'll be balanced, but we're not going to change what guys say. If he's getting 3 or 4 yards pop, we're going to keep going to it, and that just demolishes the defense's whole persona about themselves. So you can just run. Look at Pitt last night with their running back. You know, he had over 200 yards. It's a momentum gainer, and it's a killer for the opposite opponent.
Coach, we got a decent day today, but good luck today against Gannon. Go get him.
I really appreciate it. Big game. Thank you.
Go. Thanks, Coach.
Well, the Rock last week stayed unbeaten in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division with that convincing 44-21 win on the road at Cal. Not a pretty game, though, especially in the first half. The Rock piled up 101 yards in penalties in the first half alone. They fumbled 5 times, but they got it together and dominated the second half, scoring 27 points to Cal's 7 over the final 30 minutes. Wes Hills, 248 yards and 4 touchdowns to lead the Rock. And RR3, Roland Rivers III, rushed for 106 yards and a score to give the Rock its first game with 2 players over 100 rushing yards in a game in the same game since 2015. For Gannon, it'll be interesting to see what they come out with today, because they were already playing without their original starting quarterback, Jimmy Keefe, who was injured early in the year, and then last week lost their backup quarterback in Jason Dambaugh, who had thrown for 162 yards and a touchdown against Mercyhurst. Kept the game close in the battle for Erie, but he went out of the game, and Cody Calloway came in relief. He was 0-for-6 with an interception and also suffered an injury. We had heard throughout the week that it was not likely he would play, but he was warming up in the pregame here when Gannon is on the field, so we'll wait and see exactly what happens today. Of course, Marcus Jones, they're back, 152 yards and a touchdown last week. We are getting word, too, that the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Defensive Athlete of the Week, Eric Glover-Williams, will not play today, along with running back Jakar Berry. We'll wait and see on that. Of course, the Rock coming into the game rushing for over 200 yards per game. They're averaging 201.3. Gannon comes in 185 yards per game. The Rock has scored 24 touchdowns, Gannon 11 on the air, in the air. That's one differential that they can pull ahead of the Golden Knights, because both are even in rushing touchdowns. The Rock 21, Gannon with 20. One thing to keep an eye on today, and it's been ugly for the Rock, and that's penalties. These two teams are the heaviest penalized teams in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. In fact, they're ranking right up there in that unfortunate category in the nation. Right now, the Rock averaging more than 116 yards in penalties, while Gannon is averaging 102. So we'll see what happens with regard to that. So big day today. Not only is it the wrap-up of the Western Division action, but we've got the national and regional rankings to pay attention to, and in particular, those regional rankings. You've got to be in the top 7 to get to the postseason, the NCAA tournament. That is one of the goals of this Slippery Rock University football team, and right now, believe it or not, they're in the 8th position, so they've got to win out and put it up maybe some points here today. Right now, Marcus Jones, fifth straight game with at least 133 yards and a touchdown last week. He's right now fourth in Division II with 1,282 yards on the season. Interesting comparison, though, when you take a look at Wes Hills. He's played two less games and has 906 yards. He's actually averaging better than anybody in the state, 7 yards per carry. He's got 9 touchdowns, despite missing, really, when you look at it, 3 full games because he went out early in that Shippensburg game. Glenn Thompson, the sun is starting to pop out. I think we're going to see a dry day today.
Yeah.
It is a bit breezy out there. You were down on the field. How is the wind down there?
It's chilly. I mean, by all means, it's a cold day, but the wind is pretty strong as we're looking at the field here going left to right. So it's going end zone to end zone. It's not really corner to corner. So it's straight across the field, left to right. So that'll be, absolutely as you're going right to left offensively today, a big factor with the wind in your face. But one thing I wanted to bring up there as you were kind of going through some stats and talking about how these two teams match up, I think today is a really good testament, Bob, of Sean Lutz's coaching ability. And that's a little bit of a challenge because, listen, you got a 2-7 football team here in Gannon. You already have the PSAC West locked up. You're coming off a big win on the road against California. It is easy to come out here flat today. I mean, it's very easy to come out here and underestimate this Golden Knights team, and before you know it, be down 14-0, something like that. So I want to see how Coach Lutz has gotten this team amped and ready to go today and coming out with that killer instinct. I mean, you got to come out and you got to – Gannon's not a team built to come from behind. So if you can come out and be up 3 scores by the end of the first quarter, man, that's a huge advantage because Gannon is not a passing team. They're not a team built to do that. So big opportunity here in the first 15 minutes, this first frame, for Slippery Rock to really kind of put their foot down, assert themselves as the dominant football team today, and make a statement.
We'll see probably Cody Calloway. He took over last week, as we mentioned, had to come into the game because they have lost their top 2 starters, Jimmy Keefe and Jason Dampaugh. Cody Calloway has yet to complete a pass.
Yeah.
He's 0-for-6 with an interception. Of course, he went out of that game last week as well with an injury. Kind of interesting here, Glenn. We've got 2 minutes to kick off, and Gannon literally just came onto the field.
They already did the coin toss. Slippery Rock won. They are going to receive, as they did last week. I think with the way that the offense has been moving the ball these past, I'll call it 5 weeks now, why wouldn't you take the ball first and try to put up 7 points at home to kind of get the edge early on? So, again, they did it last week against California, taking the ball first. I like them taking the ball first again this week. And then Gannon, what they do, it was interesting to see what they got to choose then because they got to choose the side of the field. Gannon will have the wind at their backs to start the quarter here.
The Rock entering week 10 of the season in the top rankings offensively and scoring-wise in Super Region 1. They lead the pack. The Rock ranking 11th nationally in both total offense and scoring offense, as I mentioned. They're just shy of 41 points per game right now. Since taking over the starting role at quarterback, Roland Rivers III is now 7-0 entering week 10. And he is 5th in the nation in points responsible for per game. That's 22. Despite playing 2 full games less than most of the rest of the players in the nation, he is 13th in total points responsible for and ranks 11th nationally in total offense per game. Pretty impressive stats for the junior, the redshirt junior. Well, we're finally set to go. Gannon is on the field. They certainly have been taking their time allowing that to happen today. And Brian Streibel will be doing the kicking today. Back deep, Jermaine Wynn and Mark Carter. And it is going to be Carter taking it at his 4. And we're underway. He's up across the 10-15 behind the blocking of Wynn. He's got a good block. He fumbled it as he was hit. As he crossed the 26, let's see who comes up with it. And it's Slippery Rock ball. They did retrieve it, but Mark Carter letting that go and hit the turf. And we just talked about it.
Yeah,
it happened last week.
We'll see what happens here, Bob, because all right, you got a flag down here at the 42. Also a flag across the field that came in late as Garrett Debian was doing a little extracurriculars after the play. So we might have offsetting penalties, and after all that, we might end up just re-kicking and starting this thing over. Because
well,
I think we're probably going to have offsides down here against Gannon on the kickoff. And then the only question I have is whether they're going to call it after the play or not on the second penalty.
The discussion is underway around the 30-yard line. We'll see what happens. The referee crew led by Michael Chapper today. And unfortunately, we are having an issue with our crowd mic, and let me see if I can fix something.
There is a crowd here.
We have a crowd here. Hey, there we go. Welcome to the crowd.
Bob's got the magic touch.
We had a button flip there, so still no word on what's going on. It's a long discussion.
Well, they're over here talking with Coach Lutz now. And so I think that's what the question is. They're going to give him the option to either re-kick or probably assess some penalty yardage from the end of the play here.
So a long discussion going on here. And Coach Lutz talking with Chapper, the referee. Sun is out. We have dark clouds all around us, but the hole in the hurricane right now is right over top of Mahalik Thompson Stadium here.
We're going to re-kick.
And we're going to have a re-kick. So they're going to – hey, anytime you can get the ball into the hands of Jermaine Wynn Jr. and Mark Carter, you want to do it as many times as you can.
Interesting. So I thought the second penalty was going to be a personal foul against Debian, but he was the second one. Like, apparently they got the first one. So they got someone on Gannon, which is now why you're having – Sean Lutz re-kick, because now you can get what they're going to spot this one back around the 25, I think.
Yeah, you're going
to kick this one off again.
Yeah, you're going to get potential for a great field position. So we'll re-kick it again here. And on kickoffs this year, Brian Streibel has had just four touchbacks. He's kicked four out of bounds as well. He's averaging 57 yards per kick. As far as field goals go, he's hit only 3 of 9 and nothing beyond 29 yards. So the kicking game today will be interesting to follow. Of course, on our side of the ball, Jake Chapla had that long streak of extra points snap last week because of a blocked extra point. So we'll start the streak back over.
Okay. Now I fully understand what happened, Bob. Okay. Offsides. So they march off those 5 yards. The personal foul against Gannon, they did call as a dead ball. Oops. So actually what happens is they back it up 20 yards, 5 for the offsides, 15 for the personal foul. So Gannon will re-kick this ball from their own 15-yard line.
Wow. And that means instead of standing at the end zone, Jermaine Wynn Jr. and Mark Carter are actually standing up around their 20-yard line. So let's see how this plays out as the Rock has the potential to really get great field position. And you mentioned that it is a priority today to get off to a good start. So here comes the boot now. Again, Gannon is kicking from left to right. The Rock will be moving right to left on your radio dial, and we're set to go. Here comes the boot from Streibel, and it's in the air, and it is coming in the way of Jermaine Wynn Jr. at his 25. He's up across the 30, comes near side to the 40, and is hit at the 42, gets out of the tackle, and is across the 45 to the 50 before he's finally knocked out of bounds. Failure to close down was the difference there.
Failure to close down, but then also Mark Carter comes back and actually blocks one of the would-be tacklers off of Jermaine Wynn. It was a great block, great effort play by Carter, which sprung Wynn to get up across midfield. So right call by Sean Lutz to get the re-kick. Great return by Wynn, and here comes the offense in Gannon territory.
Yeah, they're going to start. They marked that at the 49-yard line of the Golden Knights. So here we go. The Rock starting out with Roman Rivers and Wes Hills in that backfield. First and 10 at midfield. Here's the first snap of the game. And it's to Rivers. He drops back. He looks to throw. He throws far side to Henry Litwin. He's got it for a 4-yard gain. He's dropped at about the 46-yard line for the short gainer.
We do have a flag that came in, and I think it's going to be an ineligible receiver downfield against Slippery Rock as just a couple of the linemen got downfield. But just keep in mind, too, no Colton Robb in today's game, so you're going to have Dalton Bayer in there at the right guard position for Slippery Rock.
And the penalty will go against the Rock, so that'll move it back into Rock territory now. So back-to-back penalties on basically two of the three plays that have been conducted in this game so far, and two of those being kickoffs. So we move the back now instead of
this
a catch.
This might be a five-hour game at this pace, man.
Well, we talked about how heavily penalized each team was, and they're proving it right out of the gate here. Back into Rock territory at their own 46. It's play action. Screen to the outside. It's Jermaine Wynn Jr. He's got it. He's got the yardage back and a first down to boot. Across the 40, back into Gannon territory. Dropped at the 37-yard line.
RPO and great recognition by Roland Rivers as the Gannon defense was really packed in tight to the middle of the field trying to play run. And so what's he do is he pulls it back, hits the quick swing pass out to the outside, and there is nobody along the sidelines for Gannon. It's an easy first down.
Gets 17 yards. Now the quick snap, and it's another screen to the near side this time to Wynn. And he's got another near first down as he's dropped across the 30, down to the yard marker necessary for that first down, and he's got it. Another 10 yards. Back-to-back plays to Jermaine Wynn Jr. go for 17 and then 10.
Well, if you're going to have a defense that is so concerned about stopping the run that they bring those safeties and bring those linebackers in tight, you're going to win those one-on-one matchups on the outside all day.
Quick snap again, and it's a keeper this time. Rivers fakes the handoff, and he's going to be hit after about a yard and a half. We'll give him 2 yards on the keeper. He was hit immediately as he faked. Gannon was not fooled.
I think I see what he was reading, because actually, if he does shake that one tackler, he had plenty of grass in front of him. But you know, maybe you just rely on Wes Hills to get the yardage for you.
And this time Rivers is going to do the option, and he pitches it to the outside, and Wes Hills breaks a tackle inside the 20, down inside the 15 to the 12-yard line. That'll be a pickup of 14.
When I was down on the field, I walked by Wes Hills. You don't realize how big he is until you're standing next to him. I mean, listen, I'm not a big guy by any means. But, I mean, I felt like I was a 5-year-old standing next to him. Like, he's just such a big guy.
Number 4, Wes Hills from Wildwood, New Jersey. And it is another first down for the Rock at the 11-yard line they give him. So give him 15 yards on that carry. Now it's big Wes again, and he goes into the pile and carries it down inside the 10 to the 8, a pickup of 3.
One thing to keep in mind there, after seeing that play break down, you had Zach Cirillo, the big tight end, in man coverage against a much smaller safety on that play. So if Gannon's going to line up in that man defense down here in the red zone, I'll take Cirillo, the athletic tight end, and a big size advantage over that safety any day.
He's going to be stacked up on the left side with double receivers on the right. And here's Rivers. He's going to go fake to Hills, roll out, throw to the end zone, and he's going to throw it over the head of Dakota Clanigan. And here comes a flag.
All he had to do, though, was throw that to the back corner, and Clanigan was working his way back there. It would have been an easy catch because Clanigan worked himself free from the defender. If Rivers just puts that one towards the back corner, it could have been an easy catch. But now, actually, we have offensive PI, so it would have been all for naught anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere because of the penalty, so that's the second penalty on the Rock on the day. And it'll move him back outside of the 10 now, so it will be a second and long.
As we have a little bit of rain starting to fall now, too, just a little bit of mist.
Yeah, it's coming in from the left side of the field, from the Grove City area, if you can imagine that. And getting a little wet right now. The wind has been pretty steady here. So now the Rock all the way back to the 23-yard line. Second and 22. Roland Rivers barks out the signal, tries to get Gannon to jump. They don't. Now he looks to the corner of the end zone. Wide open, Austin Scott, and he catches it and drops it. He had a touchdown waiting for him, and he couldn't hold on.
Listen, I'm not one to, you know, second-guess somebody's effort on plays or whatnot, but as a receiver, Austin Scott, how do you not lay out for that one a little bit? He had the separation. Help your quarterback out a little bit. He put it over the top. If you just make a little bit of a diving effort, you easily corral that one in.
And maybe the rain having a little bit of an effect out on that, I don't know, but he didn't catch it. So it's now third and 22. Here's Roland Rivers. He's going to pitch it to the outside. Wes Hills has a big hole. Spins across the 10. Gets it down to the 7-yard line. It'll be short of the first down and bring up a fourth down. The Rocks still can get a first down, but they've got to get to the 1 as the ball is going to be spotted. Actually, they're going to say his knee was down at the 9.
They're going to bring out the field goal unit. And, yeah, just a little too far. If since that ball being spotted at the 9, I mean, you're talking about 8 yards on fourth down here. Meanwhile, it's a pretty easy chip shot field goal for Jake Chaplis. So get your 3 points here on this first possession. Good call.
This has been the area that Jake has struggled, this side of the field. Let's see what he does here. 26-yard attempt. As the rain really starts to come down, and he boots it way up. It hooks to the right, but it is good. Goes inside the upright, and the Rock takes an early 3-0 lead as the rain begins to fall. We'll be back with the kickoff in a moment on Rock Football here on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
The Rock Station and Rock Football on 97.7.
And we're back here, 3-0 the score. Early first quarter, the Rock, an 8-play, 40-yard drive. Took 3 minutes and 42 seconds to net a 26-yard field goal and a penalty late on that series. Really the crusher, as the Rock had an opportunity to maybe move into the end zone for 6. But Jake Chaplin, 26 yards out, gets the 3 points. And the Rock takes an early lead as they'll kick off to Gannon. And the rain really coming down now, Glenn.
Rain really coming down. And this is a, as the wind knocks the ball off the tee, I was going to say, this kick going directly into the wind. So difficult kick coming up here for Chaplin.
Back deep will be Nico Law and Melvin Blanks, and they're dangerous return men for this Golden Knights team, as we've got a steady downpour right now. It's kind of right over top of the stadium. We kind of joked about the eye of the hurricane. We had nice bright sun. Now you look at the surrounding areas, they're just partly cloudy, but over top of it is a big black cloud dumping some water on the field here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. And we're set to go with Jake Chaplin's boot. From the 35-yard line, here's the kick, and it is going to go in the vicinity of Law and hit at the 10, take a bounce where he grabs it. He's up across the 15, 20, and hit before he gets to the 25, but that's where he'll drop to the turf, and that's where they'll spot the ball. First and 10, Gannon at their own 25-yard line, with the Rock leading 3-0 at the 11-11 mark of this opening quarter.
Okay, so we talked about it in the pregame, Bob. It's no secret what Gannon's going to be doing today, especially being down to their third-string quarterback. Marcus Jones is going to be the guy on offense for the Golden Knights today. So if you're Slippery Rock, especially early on here, I'm okay selling out trying to stop the run.
Cody Callaway is in the backfield, and he'll take the snap, and guess who it is? It's Marcus Jones, and he goes to the line of scrimmage and is hit immediately and is dropped after barely a yard on that opening carry.
Yeah, 8 guys in the box on that opening carry for Slippery Rock defensively. So absolutely getting in there and trying to shut down Marcus Jones today, forcing Callaway to throw the football.
Richard Mikowski, Dante Owens are in at the receiver positions for the Golden Knights. And both are going to come near side. Jones is sidecar right to the quarterback, Callaway. And it's a play-action rollout. He's running near side, and he's going to dump it off, and he hits number 17, and that's Alex Hutchins, the tight end.
He
breaks
it.
A tackle. Oh, wait, he fumbled the ball, started to break a tackle, and lost the ball, and it's very alertly picked up by Dante Owens, the wide receiver, and he takes it into Rock territory.
He can't do that, though. If you're only the guy who fumbled the football is allowed to pick it up and advance it.
So Hutchins, the tight end.
At least that's my understanding of the rule. I guess not.
Caught it and then fumbled it. And
then another wide receiver came over and scooped it up.
Now Gannon moves it down into the Rock territory to the 38-yard line, so they benefit on what turns out to be a big play for them. Jones now going to take the handoff. He goes into the pile, and he's going to lose yardage. The Rock was there. They sniffed it out. Making the tackle was Trey Blanford, but there was another Rock player coming in from the outside that kind of broke that up.
Chad Kuhn coming in from that defensive end position does a nice job of diagnosing the play right off the snap, and literally just ran down the line of scrimmage and made the tackle, or helped make the tackle, to limit the game for Marcus Jones. Actually, they got him for a loss.
And they're going to say a loss of 2 yards, and they're going to credit Tim Vernick, actually, with the tackle. Blanford came in on top of Vernick, and I didn't see his body below him. But he made the tackle. Now man in motion is Joey Cox, and they hand off to Jones. He goes into the pile again and is stuffed again for no gain. So they're shutting down big Marcus Jones at this point. 3 carries thus far, and he's got a negative yardage of 1.
And the disruptor on that play, Bob, was Jeff Marks on that interior of the defensive line, getting off of his double team in the middle, and he was in the backfield taking 2 offensive linemen with him, which allowed a lot of gaps for the other secondary defenders to get up there and make the tackle.
So now it's 3rd and 12 for Gannon. In the shotgun goes Callaway. Sidecar right is Jones. Now they're going to step him up and in motion, and he'll move up into the slot. Here's Callaway. Looks to run. and he runs for the first down. Slides. No, he avoids this tackle. He's going to run all the way to the 10. He looked like he was going to slide. He caught the rock napping and went right around the oncoming tackler and takes it all the way inside the 10 to the 8-yard line.
Huge miscommunication defensively there, as whenever they motioned Marcus Jones out of the backfield, both Brad Zaffrom and Dalton Holt went with him and lined up over top of him in man coverage. You don't need two of them on him, so somebody should have stayed in the middle of the field, which would have prevented that lane for Callaway. So big miscommunication there by the Rock defense.
And that miscommunication relates to a 32-yard gain for Callaway. Now he'll keep it again, and he trips and loses yardage. 1 yard back to the 9-yard line. He looked like he was going to try to do a little juke fake around Dalton Holt. And
Dalton's
tripped.
A little hurt after that.
Yeah, he came down with his head on that, and he's going to have to leave the game.
He's got his left arm just hanging
like
at his
maybe
side.
Banged up his shoulder there, he's upset right now. So he comes off the field and is replaced by Tyree Spearman, who was a little banged up this week, but he's in the game now. So a loss of a yard on that, and it's second down. And he's going to keep it again, go into the pile, and run for a touchdown. Cody Callaway takes it in from 8 yards out, and Gannon has scored on their opening drive. Two big plays for the Golden Knights, and they take a 6-3 lead.
Okay, go to school, because what you learned on this first drive was that Cody Callaway is a threat on the ground, big time. He's fast, elusive. So Rock defensively, while you're worried about Marcus Jones, might have to play a little bit of spy on the quarterback too, make sure that you limit his opportunities running the football, as that was a very impressive drive for Gannon.
And the kick is through. And Gannon has taken a 7-3 lead. 7:41 mark of the opening quarter. We're back with the Rock kickoff as they get the ball back in a moment. You're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station 97.7. And we'll keep it right here as the rain has stopped and almost looks like it's going to try to break the sun back out here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. So a wild weather day out of the gate here. It is very, very windy right now. And the Rock going to be getting the ball back here, but they will have Gannon kicking with the wind, actually. And so we'll see where the boot goes. 7 plays, 75 yards. Gannon marches it right down the field and takes a 7-3 lead, so a 4-point lead for the Golden Knights at the 7:41 mark of this opening quarter. Back deep will be Mark Carter and Jermaine Wynn Jr. Again, Eric Glover-Williams not playing today, and we had heard that Shakar Berry also would not be playing for the Rock, violation of team rules. So here we go. Here's Jermaine Wynn now taking the ball at about the 7, and he fakes it and hands it off to Mark Carter, who trips before he gets to the 20-yard line and falls at the 18. So, Glenn, that's two times now in that area of the field that we have seen a player slip. And I wonder if a little bit of that wet weather that we had maybe messing things up just a bit.
Turf monster getting a hold of Mark Carter there. Now a long field coming up for the Rock offense, who moved the ball really well on the opening possession, just shot themselves in the foot with a offensive pass interference. So see if they can continue to move the ball on this drive and try to punch this one in.
Yeah, they got the ball at the Gannon 49-yard line as a result of a penalty on Gannon, and then promptly moved themselves back out of the red zone. So here we go, first and 10 from the 18. In motion goes Jake Cirillo. It's a pitch to the outside, and Wes Hills tries to go that way and is shut down. And now he'll just recover and get back into the mid part of the field and does get the ball to the 20-yard line, a 2-yard carry. Wes Hills shut down very quickly on that one.
Taking what should have been a 3-yard loss and turning it into a 2-yard gain. You know, that doesn't pop off the stat sheet at you, but that's a big run right there to not go with negative yardage on a first down and put yourself behind the sticks.
Got Carnell Harley as Wes Hills goes in motion on the near side. They're going to throw to the far side, and that's where Wes Hills pulls it in on the screen, and he's got the first down. He'll go out of bounds as he crosses the 30-yard line. They say he went out at the 28.
Great job blocking upfield by both Mike Murhat and Henry Litwin, securing the edge and allowing Wes Hills to get to the sideline and get the necessary yardage for that first down.
And they move the chains. First and 10, Slippery Rock. Again, the Rock moving from right to left. here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. In motion goes Jake Cirillo to the top side. Here's the snap, and it's play action. Rivers drops back, has time, throws across the middle, has Mike Merhot, and he reins it in at the midfield stripe of the 50-yard line and goes into Gannon territory to the 44-yard line, and a nice first down gain. Is that laundry on the field?
Yeah, really late flag came in, and I am not sure what the call is going to be, but
Gannon
players are signaling that it's against Slippery Rock.
So a late penalty here. Let's hope it's after the play.
Came in as the tackle was being made, which, you know, you would think it's a face mask or something, but
it's an illegal block on the back by the Rock.
So because it was such a big chunk play, it's just 10 yards from the spot of the foul, and it's still a first down.
It'll move it back into Rock territory, though, to the 45. So instead of getting inside Gannon territory, the Rock pushed out of that once again because of a penalty. But it is a first down. The Rock trailing here early on, 7-3.
And the sun's shining. So we've been all over the place here in the first 7 minutes of this game.
Back in the eye of the storm again here. Here comes the snap to Rivers, and he'll play action again. Fake to Wes Hills and dumps it off to Jake Cirillo, who's got the first down. He gets it back into Gannon territory, back down to the 44. So we're right back to where we started
but another
late flag coming in on that far side again, and Gannon waving that it's against the Rock.
Henry Litwin coming off the field and shaking his head, so illegal block in the back against the offense.
That's the second illegal block on this drive, so it'll again move it back into Rock territory to the 46-yard line. So the penalty bugaboo that has been affecting the Rock all season long is once again striking them here early on today. Coach Lutz now calling the referee over to the sideline to have a discussion. And he has his say and now walks back off the field. And he is not a happy camper right now.
He's trying to yell the whole way across the field. Make sure that official can hear him. No. In a way, though, I mean, it's first and nine, you know, so it's not great, but it's not terrible either.
Here's a handoff to Wes Hills. He's right up through the gut. Breaks a tackle. He's going to take it for a touchdown. Wes Hills, 46 yards out, went right up the middle, had nobody within 10 yards, had a safety or maybe a linebacker dropping back and busted right through him for the touchdown.
Yeah, he had a safety draped or coming up, trying to square him up, and the shift, the little shifty move, the juke towards the inside of the field that Wes Hills put on that safety, that's video game stuff right there, man. I mean, the move he made, smooth. It was great.
So Wes Hills takes it in, and that was a 54-yard touchdown run with the extra point try to come, courtesy of Jake Chapla. So the Rock jumps back in front here, and here's the snap. And the hold by Mike Merhot. The kick is up and good. And we now have a streak started back over again by Jake Chapla. 6:09 mark. The Rock has taken a 10-7 lead. Wes Hills takes it in for 7. Actually 6 with the extra point, making it 7. We'll be back after a 30-second timeout. Rock football here on The Rock Station, 97.7.
Looking for a great price on a clean, dependable pre-owned car? Then head to Honda North. Browse over 7,000 pictures of our used car inventory easily at HondaNorth.net. Every pre-owned car undergoes a 182-point inspection and comes with free Carfax report. And buying from Honda North comes with benefits, free PA state inspections, free service loaner cars. And at Honda North, every fifth oil change is free. Buying a pre-owned car is a big deal. At Honda North, we'll help you find the right car for you. Honda North, more cars, lower prices. Just try us.
Slippery Rock offensive lineman Christopher Larson, Amir McDowell. Let's go Rock.
This is Dakota Clannigan, Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
And we're back after a 5-play, 82-yard drive by the Rock, and it was shortened up handily by Wes Hills on a 54-yard run. The Rock has reclaimed the lead here at the 6:09 mark of the opening quarter. They're up 10-7 and ready to kick things off.
Sean Lutz spent that entire break trying to get the officials to come over and talk to him about those calls, and they wouldn't do it.
Here's the boot. It's Law at his 5-yard line. He'll take it across the 10, 15, 20, and spun down to the ground at the 24-yard line. Actually, I'm sorry, that was Melvin Blanks, wasn't it? Melvin Blanks, number 26 on the return. So Gannon will start out first and 10. They do spot it just shy of the 25-yard line. make it the 24.
Like I said, after the last drive for Gannon, we saw what Callaway can do, and it's mostly with his legs. So got to be weary of that now if you're the Rock defense, of what 34 brings on the ground as a runner.
They held Mark Jones to negative yardage on that opening drive, but Callaway had 40, and he had the touchdown. And here we go. They're actually going to put Marcus Jones in motion, and they'll hand it off up the gut for about 2 yards. Goes number 24, Zevin Hawley, a running back who was in the backfield. So they send Marcus Jones out like it was going to be a screen pass and then go right up the gut on the delayed draw. He'll pick up two.
And he is capable of that. Marcus Jones, last year in this game, 4 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown. So he is capable of getting out in that slot position and making some catches.
They keep that same look in the backfield. Dual backs, double receivers up top. This time it is Jones, and he's hit in the backfield and snowed under. He's going to lose yardage again. Drop back for a loss of two.
Indecisive by Callaway, just holding on to that handoff and that mesh point way too long. And because of that, Jones wasn't able to really get his legs going. The defense is swarming. So Callaway, just his indecisiveness on that play, leads to a big loss for the Gannon offense.
It was Timmy Vernick and Tristan McDonald in for the 3-yard loss on Jones. He's now lost 4 on the day on 4 carries.
Keep it that way.
Yeah, really. Trip receivers up top now. They've got a 4-receiver set. Jones is in the backfield, sidecar left to Callaway on 3rd and 11. And Callaway going to do a run, now pass it, and it's in and out of the hands of the receiver, Joey Cox. He drops it. It'll be 4th down. Just a blatant drop by Joey Cox, the intended receiver.
He was 6 yards short anyway. So even if he did make that catch, he wasn't going to get the necessary yardage to move the sticks. One of my big pet peeves in football at any level is, as a quarterback, throwing a route that is 6-7 yards short of your yard to gain on third down. I mean, at least give your offense a chance to get the yardage needed.
So it'll be a punting situation on the 3-and-out. Jermaine Wynn will stand at his 35. Mark Carter is standing at around the 50 for the Rock. The Rock bringing pressure. Now they back off and set up the return. And it's going to go to Wynn and force him back to his 31-yard line. And he'll take off and run to the near side. 35-40, breaks a tackle. 45, across the mid-stripe, into Gannon territory he goes. On a big return right up the sideline into Gannon territory, just shy of the 30-yard line.
Yeah, nothing fancy that Wynn did. It was just great blocking by the special teams unit for Slippery Rock as they completely sealed off that edge for him to comfortably get to the sideline and get upfield. And really great starting field position for the Rock offense yet again.
That's a 35-yard return by Jermaine Wynn. So they will start out 1st and 10 at the 32-yard line of the Golden Knights.
As a return man, those are your favorite returns. Whenever you catch the ball and you look upfield and you see that your blocking is set up perfectly, man, all you got to do is run. It's like you don't have to do any other work.
4:26 mark of the first quarter. Roland Rivers, sidecar, Wes Hills to the left. Double receiver set, and Jake Cirillo in at tight end. Here's the snap. It is Hills, and he jukes and goes across the 30. Puts it down at the 28-yard line, and he'll pick up 4.
So far today, especially on early downs, what you're seeing Gannon do defensively is they're stacking the box and playing man-to-man on the outside against these Slippery Rock receivers. So I think if you continue to run the football with success and they keep lining up that way, you're going to be eventually able to pop one with some type of play action and having one of your receivers win a one-on-one matchup on the outside. I mean, they have one single high safety. Other than that, everyone else is in the box, and it's just straight man across the field on the outside with these receivers.
Near side is Austin Scott. Up top, Jermaine Wynn Jr. and Carnell Harley. And here's Rivers looking downfield. He's got a man wide open in the end zone, and he just misses linking up with Jermaine Wynn Jr. as Rivers takes a big hit after releasing that ball. He just missed him by about 2 steps.
Needed another second, because if that play had, if Rivers had another second to just settle in, step into that throw a little bit better, but the pressure was coming, so he was forced to get rid of that one and just a little bit sooner than he wanted to.
And Jermaine Wynn was wide open, streaking into the end zone. 3rd and 5 now for the Rock. Here comes pressure, and they do the check with me to the sideline. No,
now they drop back to 2 safeties, so you're probably more of a zone look right now defensively. Middle of the field should be open.
And here's Rivers. He's going to keep it, and he's going to go right through the middle of this line and get the first down. Dropped at the 16-yard line. He'll pick up 11.
Yeah, it's a great read by Rivers pre-snap. whenever you see them drop back that second safety, all of a sudden you know that area right behind the line of scrimmage, the middle of the field, is going to be wide open. So good keeper by Rivers, because that was an option play, tucks it up the field and gets the first down.
First and 10. Here's a handoff to Hills. He goes into the pile and is hit as he picks up 3 yards and takes it inside the 15 down to the 13-yard line. That'll be a pickup of 4.
Now you're going to give Wes Hills a little bit of a breather as Fuffman checks into the game.
Braden Fuffman coming in, number 29. He'll be the backup today. I'm sure we may even see a little bit of Nasir Weaver, because Jakar Berry will not play today. And Fuffman will be sidecar left to Rivers, who has trip receivers up top. Here's the snap. He's looking for the end zone. Has wide open. Is that Carnell? And he's hit as he goes across the 9-yard line.
He had to go down to one knee to make that catch. And in college football, that means you're down. So makes the catch at the, what they're going to say, the 9-yard line or so. So it's still a positive gain, but should have been a first down if Carnell Harley could have kept that right knee off the turf.
Yeah, the ball thrown a little low. So now it'll be 3rd and 3. Now wholesale change in at wide receiver. They go with trip receivers to the near side. Jake Cirillo is up top. And I should say Zach Cirillo, not Jake. Zach Cirillo, number 18, the redshirt junior. And here's a handoff. Wes Hills is going to take it in for a Slippery Rock touchdown. From 8 yards out, there was nobody in the middle once again. And number 4 has his second touchdown of the day.
You run that trips look on the left side of the formation, forcing one of the safeties to come to that side of the field. So you've spread the defense out, run right up the middle where there's that safety should be. So nice play design, nice pre-snap look. And then obviously whenever they did the check with me, they check off to that run to Wes Hills, and into the end zone he goes.
So a 6-play drive that goes 32 yards because of the great return by Jermaine Wynn Jr. The Rock has now taken a 16-7 lead. Here's the extra point try for Jake Chapla. It's up and good. Slippery Rock has taken a 17-7 lead here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium at the 2:08 mark of the opening quarter. We'll be back with the kickoff. You're listening to Rock Football on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Bottled Water and Coffee Service is very proud to announce their partnership with Pioneer. Pioneer is the first of its kind whole house lead and cyst removal system. This is powerful news for you and your family. You've heard the reports. Communities everywhere are being affected by concentrations of lead in the water. Don't take chances with you or your family's health. Call Negley's today for a water consultation at 724-282-6160. Not only does Pioneer remove heavy metals such as lead, it also removes and reduces chlorine, chloramine, and other harmful contaminants in your water. Call Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service today. The Pioneer Whole House Lead Removal System, only at Negley's.
You're listening to Rock Football on The Rock Station, 97.7.
Well, Slippery Rock University has touched the ball 3 times today, and they have put up 17 points, a field goal to open the game. Now back-to-back touchdown runs by Big Wes Hills has given the Rock a 10-point lead here at the 2:08 mark of the opening quarter.
And that last one going off right guard, which is Colton Bayer, who's playing today Dalton Bayer, who's playing for Colton Robb. So nice job by Bayer getting some minutes today and making the most of it with a good block on that touchdown run.
Here's the boot. And it's taken by Law, and he's got a nice return. Takes it at about the 21, takes it up across the 30, and is dropped at, they're going to say he went right down at the 35-yard line, so a decent return for Gannon, and that's where the Golden Knights will take over, 2:02 mark of the opening quarter. 17-7 the lead in favor of the Rock.
Really nice defensive series last time Gannon had the ball. A couple of big run stops, and then on a third down attempt, forcing the incompletion. So a nice 3-and-out by the Rock defense last time. See if we can get more of the same here.
4 carries, -4 yards for Big Marcus Jones. So the Rock doing a great job.
So on that play there, Mark Carter came in as a really late substitution. And, Bob, that's probably the 3rd or 4th time today that there has been an extremely late sub coming onto the field for Slippery Rock. So I'm not sure what's going on right now, but there's just maybe just some guys that aren't paying attention along the sideline that – they're supposed to be in the game, and all of a sudden it's, you know, forced to call a timeout there, because otherwise Gannon was going to have a wide receiver by himself off the snap.
So Slippery Rock forced to use that timeout first of the half. And The troops will gather together and now come back onto the field. We do see Dalton Holt, by the way, back on the field. We saw him come off holding his shoulder earlier, but he's back on.
Those things there, well, I mean, they'll drive a coach crazy. I mean, that's a timeout you just had to burn because somebody just wasn't paying attention, you know, and it's those kind of mental issues that will drive a coach nuts.
So first and 10, Gannon starts at their own 35. Callaway in the pistol. Puts a man in motion. That's Richard Mikalski, the wide receiver, and they'll go play action. He wants Mikalski, but he's covered well. Now Callaway's going to have to pull it down. Now he throws way downfield. Nobody near the ball. Jacardi Brooks was downfield, but actually one of the members of the green and white, Kyle Hall, was nearest to that ball, and it's incomplete.
Yeah, Brooks stopped his route. So a nice job by Callaway of escaping the pocket, extending the play, looks downfield, and his receiver just stops his route, and he overthrows him.
So it'll be second and 10. Sidecar right, Marcus Jones. Receiver split to each side. They have a tight end into the game as well. Here's the snap, Callaway, and he's going to hand it off to Jones. Gets into the pile, spins out of a tackle. Now gets some positive yardage. Carries two guys with him for about 6 yards. And that was all Marcus Jones. That shows you how tough he is. He is a big back. He was hit at the line of scrimmage, spun out of that, had two guys draping him, and he carried them for 6 yards.
And no disrespect to the Gannon offensive line, but if you remember last year's game, Bob, that was the biggest reason for Marcus Jones's big day was his ability to break tackles and keep moving downfield after contact. And prime example right there is he's contacted right at the line of scrimmage, and here we are 7 yards later.
Third and three now at the 42-yard line. Here's the snap. It's going to be Jones again. He gets into the pile, and he's going to be stuffed. He is not going to get anything this time as the Rock blew that up very effectively, and it's no gain.
Yeah, nice job by Tim Vernick getting in there, diagnosing pre-snap, shoots through the line of scrimmage, and makes a big stop defensively. That middle linebacker, we've said it before, man, that's your job. That's your primary job in this defense in that middle linebacker spot is you are the run stopper. You have to diagnose what's happening right as the snap happens and get in there and be disruptive, fill some gaps. Tim Vernick does a nice job there.
So it's a three and out again, second consecutive series. The Rock defense has gotten off the field. Two series and just 6 plays for Gannon. Here comes the punt. Back deep, Jermaine Wynn. Here comes the boot. And it's going to come to Mark Carter, who's playing up. And he catches it at the 20. And he goes to the 25, is hit, and goes forward and falls near the 30. They're going to probably spot this around the 28.
Good play recognition there by Mark Carter as he looked up and there was just no blocking in front of him. So he just moves upfield, gets some positive yardage on the return, and then gets tackled. So instead of dancing around, reversing fields, doing all this crazy stuff, just gets 5 or 6 yards on the return and sets up his offense.
And that's where the Rock offense will come out at the 40. The 29-yard line is where they officially spot that. With 20 seconds remaining in the opening quarter, the Rock will start out in their own territory. Wes Hills does come out, sidecar left to Roland Rivers. He's got two receivers split to each side, and he's going to look that way, top side, and it's Jermaine Wynn. And he catches it for a first down grab on first down, a 10, 11 yard, maybe 12 yards.
Yeah. And
13, actually.
Gannon shows that man look, one safety over the middle of the field. I'll take Jermaine Wynn one-on-one against a slot corner every down, and he wins on an easy slant there as they're going to let the time wind down here in the first quarter.
And that'll do it. So a first down grab on first down for Jermaine Wynn Jr. from Roland Rivers III, and the Rock will go into the second quarter with a 10-point lead, and right about midfield is where they will continue this drive to start things off in the second quarter. 17-7, the Rock leads. We're back with more Rock football in a moment here on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Make it Agway all the time. It's Agway.
Count on the Butler Agway for all your farm, lawn and garden, and pet food and supplies made in the USA. At Agway, you'll also find a large selection of bird food and bird feeders. Sauerkraut crocks are a big seller, and they make wonderful gifts. Butler Agway, your complete source for all of your animal feeding needs and supplies. Route 68 west of Butler, the Butler Agway, your holiday shopping source for your animals and all of your best friends.
This is Trey Blanford, defensive lineman at Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football on The Rock Station.
And we're back to start the second quarter of action here this afternoon. Bob Cupp, Glenn Thompson with you at Slippery Rock University's Mahalik Thompson Stadium, and the Rock taking a 17-7 lead in the opening quarter. The Rock piling up 207 yards on 19 plays in that opening quarter. Wes Hills with two touchdowns already. He's already over 100 yards on the day. And it's going to be a handoff to Big Wes, and he's not going to get very much on this one. A little over a yard on first down and 10, and the Rock still in their own territory. They move the ball from the 42 to the 43.
Well, you heard Coach Lutz talking with me pregame, and you know, he said, regardless of the outcomes, even if it's a yard or two at a time, you stick with the ground game, you stay dedicated to it, and you grind down the defense.
Here's now play action. Screen pass to the outside, and this one's airmailed by RR3 over the head of Jermaine Wynn Jr., and that one uncatchable. It's incomplete.
A little bit of an adjustment here because now you have the strong wind at your back as opposed to in your face, so Roland Rivers is going to have to make the adjustments on these throws.
Third and eight now for the Rock. And we're going to be seeing rain here in a moment again. It's coming in from...
I mean, look at those flags on top of the goalposts. They're perpendicular, you know?
Yeah, I would say we've got a good probably 25-mile-per-hour breeze right now. It's really whipping, and we're going to have rain here momentarily as another wave comes in. Third and eight, the Rock at their own 43. You've got a double receiver split to each side, and a long discussion coming in from the sideline on the play call. Now Roland Rivers gets everybody lined up. Barks out the signals. Here's the snap. He's looking downfield. Here comes pressure. Good block on the top side, though, by Chris Larson. He throws it to the turf. They say he scooped it up. Boy, that's a nice grab by Mike Merhot on the top side, but it's going to be short of the first down to the 48.
That's a terrific job of going down there with the fingertips and making the catch. But on that play there, again, you have it, a quarterback not throwing the necessary yardage to gain on a third down, and because of it, after the catch, he's tackled, and it's a punting situation.
It was third and eight. They got five, and Jake Chaplow will come in to boot it away. Back deep is Nico Law. He'll stand at his 12-yard line. First time that the Rock has had to punt today. First time they didn't score after touching the ball. Here's a high snap. Chaplow handles it, though. Kicks it high into the air. Law will drift over and pick it up at his 11. He avoids a tackle. Now he goes over the 15, 20 into the pile, and is hit and dropped at about the 22-yard line.
Gannon offensively in the first quarter with a total of 81 yards on 13 plays. You had Cody Calloway, 1 of 3 for 36 yards. Marcus Jones, 6 carries and a 3-yard net. Wow. On those 6 carries. So nice opening 15 minutes for the Rock defense.
They take away the Cody Calloway 32-yard run, and the Rock has done a very nice job really limiting them to just about 13 total yards. But that 32-yard run was something that was back-to-back on that opening drive for Gannon. Cody Calloway scored from 9 yards out after that to give Gannon an early lead. But the Rock now up 17-7. Here's Calloway, drops back. Now he's going to run. Goes up the middle. He's going to be hit after a minor gain. Looks like he'll pick up two to the 24-yard line.
That's a terrific job by Tim Vernick. Saw the quarterback draw, and he actually had Marcus Jones coming up on him to block. And he evades the block, gets around him, and makes the tackle. Really good play by Tim Vernick, showing a lot of good speed, some maneuverability to get around the block of Jones, and then making a good tackle.
Calloway, a redshirt junior from Ohio.
Here we go. Marcus Jones taking the snap.
And he's in the Wildcat, and he hands it off. And that's going to be the running back, Zevin Hawley, who will get a couple yards out of it, gets it across the 25, up to the 27-yard line, a gain of 3.
See what the call is here. Looks like it's going to be going against Gannon.
Well, we've got a dead ball foul against Gannon. And that's going to move them deep into their own territory now. So penalty coming in late against Gannon.
I believe he said 74, Aaron Britton, one of the offensive linemen.
It's the first personal foul we've seen
today. Starting left guard, Aaron Britton.
So it'll move Gannon now back inside their 15 to the 14-yard line as a result of the penalty. So instead of a 3-yard gain to the 27, they move backward.
Be wary of a quarterback run here because we saw them do a design quarterback run on that first possession, which led to a touchdown on a third and long. So, oh. Okay, so they changed it. They originally called it a dead ball foul, but now they're saying it happened during the play.
Okay.
So we're going to repeat second down as opposed to going on the third.
Then they should be respotting the ball.
Still same yardage. It's just a matter of down.
Okay. I gotcha. All right, so it'll be second down and forever. For Gannon, sidecar is Marcus Jones to the left of Callaway. Double receiver split to each side. Here's the snap. He's going to drop back. He's looking across the middle. Here comes the pressure. He's going to be hit. It gets out of the sack, though, and moves forward. He escapes the sack. Wrapping up was Garrett Debian, but he was unable to hold on, and he just kind of squeezed out of it. Callaway gets a couple of yards out of it as a result.
Slippery Rock had dropped back into a zone defense, and a really nice job diagnosing by Brad Zaffram. Whenever he saw Callaway escape that initial surge of players, he realized he had nobody in his zone, so he actually came in to help out with Callaway, and he ends up getting in there on the tackle. So nice job by Zaffron.
Now it is a loss of six. He got positive yardage after the almost being sacked, and now they'll hand it off to Marcus Jones. He goes into the pile, is stacked up, spins out of it, and gets the ball to the nine-yard line. So he'll pick up two on what should have been nothing. So good work by Jones, but it's going to be fourth and long. They need, what, fourth and 23.
So now you're going to have this punter for Gannon standing in his own end zone, punting into the wind. And, yeah, right now you have Mark Carter and Jermaine Wynn at the Gannon 40. So
wow.
We're going to get really good field position here for the Rock offense.
Let's watch the snap. I'm sure the Rock going to be coming after it. They've got the blockers set up. Nope, they just back up for the return, and it's a knuckleball of a kick. Jermaine Wynn grabs it dangerously at his 40, spins out of a tackle, now is tripped up by number 48, Seth Drummond, who did a nice job getting a shoelace there, dropping Wynn, but a nice field position to start for the Rock at about the, Gannon 41-yard line.
I understand wanting to make a play. I'm all for that, but sometimes you're better off just letting that ball bounce. Even if Jermaine Wynn let that one bounce, it was going to be down by Gannon, maybe another 4 or 5 yards downfield, so you'd still be in positive territory. Sometimes the risk isn't worth the reward.
Well, the Rock going to have great field position as West Hills and RR3. Roland Rivers III come out. We'll have Carnell Harley up top. Henry Litwin is on the near side and in the slot.
I'd take a shot here on first down.
Is Dakota Clanigan. And here's handoff. West Hills, he's hit immediately. He'll actually lose a yard for the first time today. Dropped back at the 42-yard line. Number four goes backward.
You know, at that point on the field, you know what Gannon's doing defensively on first down with that man coverage. I would have taken a deep throw down the sideline there on that first down play, but instead negative yardage on a run.
Ramos Alexander comes in at tight end, and it's going to be a play action, and it's a screen to number 88, Alexander, and he's going to get nice yardage as he slips through a tackle at the 35, and he got it to the first down marker. Did he get enough?
He signals first down. I'm not sure he's got it, though. He gave the little, no, they're going to say third down, so correction, Alexander.
So he gets 10, but they had lost a yard on the previous carry,
correct.
So they're short by a yard.
Yep.
And it'll be third and one, the ball down to the 32-yard line now.
I mean, either way, you have two plays here to get 1 yard because they're not going to kick a field goal at this point in the field. So,
and they're going to stack the box. Well, Gannon expecting the ball to be handed off to West Hills. And a little tempo being asked for by Roland Rivers now. He's clapping his hands. He wants the ball. And he's going to hand it off to Hills, who's hit and dropped for a yard loss. And that one probably should have been read a bit of a different way. But
Tyree Sutton, the interior defensive lineman for Gannon, was in the backfield right off the snap. Just shoots right through the guard-center combo, and big disruption there on third down.
So Gannon returning the favor that the Rock defense has been doing to Marcus Jones. Back-to-back losses of a yard by West Hills. Now here's a pitch to the outside, and they'll stretch it this time and give West Hills some running room, and he's hit high and knocked out of bounds. Very hard, but not before he got the first down, and he gets the ball inside the 30, and let's see where they spot it, 25-yard line. First down carry, though, for number four. That's a gain of 8.
So after trying to go interior on the third down carry, they pop this one on a quick little option to the outside with West Hills and easily gets the first down, fresh set of downs.
9-11 mark of the second quarter, the Rock up 10. And here comes Alexander in motion, and now we're going to have a flag. It's going to be motion, and they may call that on number 88. Nope, they're going to call it on Chris Larson, who apparently moved. I was worried they were going to call it on Alexander because he didn't get set as he went in motion and started to move up into the slot. It just looked like it was a rough timing, but it's going to be a penalty against number 79 up on the top side. The left tackle, Chris Larson, the redshirt junior, 6'4", 325-pounder.
You know, Chris Larson's good. He's a great tackle out there on that left side, but, man, he takes, I feel, at least two penalties a game.
Yeah, here's the snap to Rivers. Now he's going to go for the end zone. Has a man breaking wide open, Mike Murhat, and it's thrown just over his head. He was looking over his right shoulder, and that one went to the left shoulder just a bit too long for Mike Murhat. Number 13 coming out of the slot that time. The 5'9", 175-pounder out of Pine Richland, if he was 6'2", he catches it.
You can probably thank the wind for that one, because just a little bit of an overthrow with the wind at your back, you know, Roland Rivers probably felt like that was a good throw, but the wind carries it just another yard or two downfield.
Second and 15 now. Here's the snap, and Rivers is going to keep it. And he's now going to pitch it forward to Wes Hills, who takes a big tackle, but he gets a couple of yards out of it inside the 25 down to the 23-yard line, so he'll pick up a few there.
You can call that a variation of a shovel pass, you know, kind of as they had Wes Hills coming down the line of scrimmage. Really well read by Hamlet Jr., the defensive back for Gannon. He saw it coming the whole way, comes off his receiver, and gets up there to make that tackle against Wes Hills.
Kind of a shot-put throw. Third receivers for the Rock up on the top side. And Zach Cirillo is in at tight end. Here's the snap. Rivers drops back. Has a lot of time. He's got all day. Breaking into the end zone, Mike Murhat, as he bobbles it. That ball might have been tipped by number 3, Jay Bullock. And
take a look at the replay here. To me, it looked like a drop. It was a drop, yeah.
He just flat out dropped it. There was a hand waved in front of him.
There was, yeah, but he didn't get on the football.
So a touchdown drop by Mike Murhat.
Oh,
and now the Rock with the decision. Got a player down on the field.
It's a Rock player. Can't and, see the number.
Let's see who that is.
That's Chris Larson, number 79.
He's down on his knees at the moment. And, boy, that would be a big loss. He's done a nice job at that left tackle position for the Rock. Brad Schaefer is his backup, number 78. And Chris is up. He's going to walk off under his own power. He's very upset right now. It looks like he took a shot of some sort. But he's going to be coming off under his own power.
Good to see him walk off. Got the field goal unit out, which is going to be putting the ball down at the 30-yard line, add the 10, so you're looking at a 40-yard attempt with the wind at your back here for Jake Chaplin.
On the near hash, that's the near hash toward the Slippery Rock sideline. And again, the Rock moving left to right. So out of the hold of Mike Murhat, a 40-yard field goal attempt by Jake Chaplin, who is 1-for-1 today. Here's the snap. It's good. Here's Chaplin's kick. It looks good. Right up over the top of the camera tower, and it's good for the 40-yard field goal attempt. The Rock has taken a 20-7 lead now, 7:46 mark of the second quarter. We'll be back with the kickoff in 30 seconds here on Rock Football on the Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Love Elite Express, Karen Car, Wash or Go City. Drive in, drive out, it's that easy.
Ken Frenchak here from the Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City. To honor our veterans, on Veterans Day, any military veteran or active military personnel will receive a free ultimate car wash from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So stop by. We're the Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City. You drive in, you drive out, it's that easy.
Rock football on the station that rocks. The Rock Station, 97.7.
Slippery Rock going to kick the ball off at the 7:46 mark of the opening half here, second quarter actually, and 20-7 the lead after a 40-yard field goal. Eight plays, 19 yards, took 3 minutes and 24 seconds to move the 19 yards, and I think the biggest problem for Slippery Rock today is getting good field position. They haven't taken advantage of it. They've scored points, but the short field only resulting in field goals. Here's the boot from Jake Chaplin. He's going to send it into the end zone, and it'll be a touchback. No, it won't. They're going to bring it out. Melvin Blanks comes out of the end zone, and that's a bad mistake
because he
didn't even make it to the 15-yard line.
What is he doing?
So the Rock going to be the beneficiary of a dumb move by Melvin Blanks, who should have taken the knee. He was mid part of the end zone.
And retreating. It's not like he was even running up on that ball. He was running backwards to catch it, so he had to stop and get his momentum going back the opposite direction. I mean, that's just... bad decision.
Yeah, it cost his team 10 yards as a result. So Gannon will start out first and 10 at their own 15-yard line. And here comes Cody Callaway out with Marcus Jones in the backfield, and he'll be sidecar left. They've got a tight end up blocking in front of him. Here's the snap to Callaway, who's in the shotgun. Puts a man in motion. And he's going to hand it up. No, he's going to play fake it to that man, and he goes up the middle and is tackled after a one-yard gain. Keeper by the quarterback for Wong.
Yeah, a lot of pre-snap motion, bringing that receiver behind the formation. Nice job by the Rock defense of just staying home and reading the play, making the tackle on Callaway after he kept that one.
So to the near side will be Richard Mikowski and Joey Cox. The wide receivers for Gannon, and up top will be Nico Law. It'll be sidecar left again, same formation, Marcus Jones. Sidecar to Cody Callaway, who takes the snap. And he's going to hand it off. Nope, he's going to keep it again. And awaiting him is number 90, Rodez Henderson, who drops him after a one-yard carry.
And did you notice what Henderson did on that play, which is exactly what you're coached to do? Saw how he turned his backside to the sideline to force Callaway back to the middle of the field. Don't allow that ball carrier to get to the edge. Shut him off, force him back to the middle of the field where the rest of your defense is. Really nice play by Henderson.
Now they'll bring number 29, Tiger Winston, in at wide receiver. He'll add to the trio on the near side, and it's third and seven, and obviously throwing down here for Callaway. He drops back, looks downfield, has a man coming back for the ball. He catches it and has the first down. That is Joey Cox. Comes back, moves the chains as he gets to the 26.
Nice job by Cox, too, because he had to go down to the turf to catch that one and keep himself from going back into or non-first down territory. So gets himself down and gets the first down. So nice job by the receiver of field awareness on that play.
Yeah, he needed eight. He got the eight. And the chains move, first and 10. Or the sticks move anyway. Marcus Jones, sidecar left again. Same formation for Callaway. Very basic up front situation. Now they hand it off to Jones, and he's going to be snowed under once again and lose yardage. The Rock is ready for Marcus Jones and everything that he has had to offer so far today. Initial tackle, Zach Bader was right there awaiting number nine.
Well, they run that zone read, which most teams do with their running game nowadays, where the quarterback is trying to read the defense and decide whether to pull it back or allow the running back to run with it. But on these plays, the Rock defense is in the backfield while Callaway is trying to make that decision. So there's just absolutely nothing to do with it. Nice job by this front seven.
Jeff Marks in on the assist with Bader. A loss of 4 yards. Now Callaway drops back. He's going to have to scramble, and he's going to be sacked. Yeah, he avoids a tackle and gets out of it, but still is going to be sacked, dropped at about the 23-yard line.
Yeah, he goes, drops back, makes one read, looks to one receiver, and then he tucks the ball and runs. So, you know, obviously a younger guy still trying to figure things out here, but as a quarterback, especially on a second and long like that, you got to hang in the pocket, go through your reads, scan the entire field, and make a throw instead of looking at one guy and then trying to get upfield.
So in a sense, Callaway actually is tackled for a loss by Jeff Marks, so he avoids the sack but loses yardage. Now third down and a horribly thrown ball to the far side, and it's going to be incomplete. It'll be a punting situation for Gannon. He was trying to get that to Tiger Winston and threw a knuckleball.
Yeah, I don't want to be too hard on the kid, but you're absolutely right. That was a terrible throw. I mean, man, was that ugly. Wasn't even close to the receiver. So the Rock defense, again, responds with a nice job getting off the field.
Yeah, fourth and 12, so it'll be a punting situation for Gannon and a potential to, again, have positive field position here with Jermaine Wynn and Mark Carter back deep. Here comes the rugby-style kick, and he just knuckleballs that. It bounces at the 48. The Rock going to have to stay away from it, and it'll take, actually, a Rock bounce as it hits at about the 45-yard line. And looked like it was going to bounce down to about the 42, but kicks back to the 44. So the Rock will start out near midfield. It's 4:15 to go in the second quarter. They're up 20-7, and I'm sure they would love to add another seven here to go into halftime.
And all day, at one time they started on their own 18, but beyond that, the starting field position for Slippery Rock today has just been tremendous.
Yeah, they started at the 18 on their second series, 49 on the first series, 32, 29, 41, and now 44. In motion goes Wes Hills, and he's going to take the screen to the outside and is tackled immediately for a loss. And they were awaiting That one, good work up on the top side by the Gannon defense. And he goes backward to the 41, a loss of three.
Yeah, Mike Murhat just unable to hold on to that block to allow West Hills to get upfield. And because of it, gets blown up for a loss of four on first down.
The Rock really not trying to stretch the field a whole lot. They've gone for the touchdown a couple of times, but that's been about it. It's been a lot of screen passes. Trip receivers now to the near side. That's the Rock sideline. Let's see what they do on second and long. And Rivers going to pitch it to the outside, and he's going to take a hit and give one himself to James Sims, the defensive back who was coming up on that play, and he gets it back to the original line of scrimmage, the 44-yard line. It'll be third and 10.
That's a pride thing right there for a running back. You may not tackle me, but I'm gonna put the shoulder right into you and try to hurt you a little bit. And nice job by West Hills of embracing that contact. Got the yardage back from that first play, so now a third and long.
Trip receivers to the near side. Bottom end is Carnell Harley. Mike Murhat in the slot. Jermaine Wynn. You have Henry Litwin alone up top on third and 10. Roland Rivers trying to get Gannon to show their hand. They do not. Now he snaps the ball. He looks to drop back. Fakes it to West Hills. Now he's going to roll out and throw. And he has Mike Murhat wide open for the first down. And he's down the sideline. Caught it at the 40. Goes down the sideline inside the 35. All the way to the 30-yard line. And a great grab by number 13.
And whenever you face a zone as a wide receiver, if you find yourself a soft spot, the best thing to do is just sit there. Not, you know, quit, stop your route and stay right there. Mike Murhat does a nice job of just finding a big shell in that defense right there on the sideline.
And it's a 26-yard grab. And here's West Hills, handoff inside and all. If they don't grab him by the ankle, he was gone. He picks up nine.
Yeah, still a good run there on first down, going off the left side of the line. So that time, as Chris Larson not back into the game yet. Trying to see who's filling in for him. Looks like you got number 78 over there, Brad Schaefer, playing left tackle. And at left guard, still you have Ryan Podgorski.
So second and short now, and it'll be a handoff Hills, and he goes into the pile. Is hit, but he spins out of it, gets the first down to the 19.
That's how you frustrate a defense right there. Whenever they had you for what should have been a two-yard loss, you put a spin on them, and then you move the sticks. You know, it's not a big run. It's only a three-yard gain, but that's what exactly what you needed, and it should have been a negative play. So just frustrating to the Gannon defense to let that one slip.
Yeah, you can't tackle West Hills up high, that's for sure, because he has that ability to spin out of it, and he did just that. First and 10. Trip receivers up top for the Rock. Roland Rivers has sidecar left in Hills, and it's going to be a fake pump to the screen, and he fumbles. He was hit as he pumped and went to throw to the end zone. It looked like he wanted to go to Austin Scott deep.
They're already signaling Slippery Rock ball, so.
And somebody jumped on it as Rivers was just about to throw it, and he was hit and lost the handle.
Gannon calls a timeout, maybe with the hopes of trying to get the ball back here before the half, because now that's going to bring up a third and long. So it's actually a good timeout by Gannon to potentially get the ball back here before halftime.
So a minute 36 is where the clock stops. And we'll keep it here for a moment as it will be a second and about 13 now after the fumble lost yardage. And that's the second time today the Rock has put that ball on the turf. Fortunately, they've been able to get both of them back. I'm scanning the sideline here for Chris Larson, and I don't see him at the moment. He's not been back in the game after coming off.
I believe he's on the field. I think he's over at the 30-yard line, but on the far side of the huddle.
Okay. So maybe he is back, coming back into the game then. So the timeout called by Gannon. That's their first.
Yeah, he's out.
Yep, here he is. Yeah, he just gave us a thumbs up. He says, I'm back. Don't worry.
He must have 97.7 playing in his helmet.
He's got the earbud in.
Heard you talking about him.
Minute 36 to go in the half. Coming up at halftime, we're going to give you a listen and a recap of the season that is so far, at least the first half of the season. We'll do the second half next week for the state championship game, but give you a little look back, reflection to this season that has sent the Rock to the state championship. Here's Roland Rivers. He's going to try to pitch it to the outside, and closing in very quickly was Malachi Woody, a defensive lineman, and it forced Rivers to just hold on to the ball and tuck it, and he goes forward to the 24-yard line. He'll actually lose a yard on that, but it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, but the great play recognition by Noah Harris-Lyles, the defensive end, he popped out into that pitch lane on the option and took it away, forced Rivers to keep that one, and Rivers just kind of falls forward to keep the play alive, because if he would have tried the pitch out to Wes Hills, Lyles would have been able to pick it off and he would have been gone.
And Gannon quickly calls another timeout, stops the clock at a minute 30, so it'll be a third and 14 now. And obviously Gannon trying to keep the Rock from adding points to the board. They are up 20-7 at the moment. Super Rock University football here today on the Rock Station, 97.7, 977rocks.com, and at rockathletics.com. Brought to you in part by Next Year Bank, Honda North, Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service, Butler Agway, Valvoline Express Lube, among our sponsors, and we appreciate all of those Rock sponsors along for the ride here this year. So here comes Roland Rivers back out, and they'll have trip receivers split up top. Roland Rivers will be in the shotgun with a sidecar left of Wes Hills. Carnell Harley alone on the near side, and here's the drop back. Rivers has a lot of time, throws it across the middle, and he wanted to get Mike Merhot, but good coverage that time. Martell Davis just steps right in that lane and knocks it down.
And he missed Carnell Harley down here by himself on the near sideline. Would have been a pretty easy throw to the back corner, but just a misread there by Rivers, and brings out Chapla this time for a 41-yard attempt.
Out of the hold of Mike Merhot, he will be right in the center of the field, and the wind to his back doesn't seem to be as dramatic as it has been, probably around 8 to 10 miles per hour at the moment. Here's the snap. It's a high one. Merhot pulls it down. Chapla puts the kick up, and it goes to the right of the goalpost, and it's no good. So Gannon does what they wanted to do, holding the Rock off the board, and they'll take over first and 10 with a minute 18 to go. 20-7 is the score, and the Golden Knights will take back over. So the Rock missing an opportunity, and again, got to bring it back to that field position. They've not been able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you'd like to be up by a lot more right now against this Gannon team, especially knowing that, as we talked in the pregame, right now Slippery Rock only eighth in those regional rankings. You needed some style points today. You needed to really come out here and control this game. And I know they're up 13, which is nice, but they've had an opportunity to be up by 23, you know, 26 points here, and just haven't been able to take advantage.
Here comes Cody Callaway, first and 10, as they start at their own 23. And here's the snap. They had a wide receiver motioning, and now he rolls out and throws it downfield as a flag comes in, as Tim Vernick was crushed in the backfield. Callaway escapes the pressure and rolls to the outside, throws it out of bounds, incomplete, but what's the flag?
It's going to be going against Gannon. I assume either some type of hold. Yeah.
It is a hold against Gannon, so that'll move him back to play all for naught anyway.
They got number 65 right tackle Matthew Hackathorn on that one. And, again, that's a testament to the pressure that this defensive line's been able to put on Callaway today. You have the Gannon offensive line just grab it on for dear life to try to keep their quarterback upright.
You have a trio of receivers split up on the top side of Gannon. And Callaway in the pistol. He'll step back into the shotgun with sidecar right being Marcus Jones. On first and 20. Here's the snap. Callaway comes pressure. Dumps it off to Jones, and he loses the handle on it. Couldn't rein it in, and it's incomplete.
Well, they set up the screen, but Zach Bader was coming absolutely untouched, and Callaway, I think, just went into preservation mode and got rid of the ball before Bader planted him into the turf.
Second and 20 now. Clock to a minute 5 as it stops on the incompletion. Rock leading 20-7 late here in the second quarter. Callaway again coming in, barking out the signals, steps back into the shotgun, same formation. And timeout called by Marcus Jones as he turned around and looked at the play clock, and it was down to 4. He calls the timeout, and we'll take a break and come back after this 30-second timeout of our own on Rock Football here on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
A rock-solid education is a critical step in achieving life's goals. Choose from programs that lead to exciting careers in health, science, engineering, technology, business, communication, education, or the performing arts. With over 150 undergraduate majors and 30 graduate programs, Slippery Rock University has been the best choice, first choice, of students across the nation for 125 years. Slippery Rock University. Experience the difference. Learn more about SRU's innovative, flexible, and affordable programs by visiting sru.edu.
I'm Kyle Hall, also known as OG, playing DB for Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football. Go Rock.
I'm Jake Chapla, kicker here at Slippery Rock, and you're listening to Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
Back out of the timeout. It'll be second and 20 now. That's the final timeout of the half for Gannon. Here we go. Double receivers now split to each side, and Marcus Jones in the backfield with Cody Calloway, who takes the snap. And he's going to hand it off to Jones, who's going to go into the pile and get nothing. No gain again, as the Rock has not allowed any kind of running lane for Marcus Jones.
And a timeout taken by Slippery Rock this time, because kicking into the wind, and on a third and long now here, you have the opportunity to get the ball back. You know, if you're Gannon, all right, so you have a third and, 20 upcoming here, a minute to go, deep in your own territory. I would assume if you're Gannon, this is a running play. That way you can keep the clock running, because Slippery Rock is out of timeouts. So by the time all that goes down, if you're Slippery Rock, you still probably get the ball back with maybe 20, 25 seconds to go, and hopefully a short field.
Marcus Jones, the alert senior in the backfield, noticed that the clock was about to expire.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Not many times you've ever seen a running back call timeout.
But that's one of your senior leaders doing his job, and you know, just nice job of being present and knowing the situation.
So out of the timeout comes Gannon, back to the line of scrimmage, which is the 14-yard line, their own 14, trailing by 13. It's third and 20.
Yeah, I would be shocked if Gannon threw this ball.
Let's see what they do. They're going to go sidecar left. Marcus Jones, trip receivers up top. And in motion to the slot comes Marcus Jones. They are going to throw. Dropping back is Calloway. He's going to scramble away from number 52, and he fumbled it as he was hit. Jeff Marks coming with the pressure, and Calloway was hit, drops the ball, and let's see who has it. It's like they're going to get it back. Gannon gets it back, but a big loss on the play. Inside the 10, down to the 8. He lost 12 on that play.
Timeout called by Slippery Rock, and I didn't think they had any. Okay. I guess they had one more still in the pocket, so good timeout. Now you're going to really get good field position with good, plenty of time still on the clock to do something with it.
So now the punting team going to come out, and the kicker for Gannon, Jared Morrison, is going to actually be standing deep in his own end zone to boot this ball. So, as a result, Jermaine Wynn Jr. and Mark Carter are standing inside the 40. They're actually at the 37-yard line, so 51 seconds remaining. Boy, almost an outright disaster for Gannon there. And thus the reasoning why you were concerned that they were even going to try to throw the ball. And here comes the boot now. Morrison has it, rugby-style boot, knuckles it, comes to Mark Carter at his 40. He scoops it up across the 35, 30, 25, 20, breaks it to the outside, and is dropped at about the 10-yard line. Great field position for the Rock on a big return by Mark Carter.
The biggest downside, in my opinion, to those low line drive rugby-style punts is that it does not give your team time to get downfield to make the tackle. Those low liners get downfield to the return men so quick that by the time Mark Carter picked it up, there wasn't a Gannon player within 20 yards of him. So he had plenty of grass to go, and gets a great return up to the 5-yard line, first and goal for the Rock offense.
That's a 36-yard return on the punt by Mark Carter. So first and goal with 39 seconds remaining in the opening half. And the Rock going to come out with Zach Cirillo at tight end. Up top, Austin Scott. Near side, Henry Litwin. And Dakota Clannigan in the slot. Here comes Scott on the sweep, and they're going to throw it into the end zone. Wide open, Dakota Clannigan. He's got it for a five-yard touchdown.
Trips on the near side, which they have been running screen out of that formation all day. So what do they do this time is you get the Gannon offense motioning that way, or Gannon defense, excuse me, motioning that way, thinking a screen is coming. Clanagan fakes the block for a second and then just releases upfield. Nobody goes with him into the end zone. Easy. Nice little wrinkle off of play design that they've been running for much of the first half.
I thought they spotted at the 10-yard line. It was actually at the 5. So first and goal from the 5 pays off into a Rock touchdown for Dakota Clanagan. And here's the extra point try. Jake Chepla boots it right through, and the Rock adds to their lead by 20 now, 27-7, with 35 seconds remaining and the kickoff yet to go.
Doesn't that make the game feel so much different? 20-7 at the half, it's a nice lead, but not as comfortable. 27-7 is a whole different game. Now you're talking three scores, a nice lead, and for a Gannon team that, keep in mind, gets the ball to start the third quarter. So that's why that 20-7 wasn't exactly comfortable. Still got 35 seconds to go here. Gannon is out of timeouts, so we'll see what they try to do. I think a lot of it's going to depend on how big of a return they get here on this kickoff.
And they will send back deep. Is that Trey McNeil who come out? No, it's not. It's actually Melvin Blanks. One of the running backs is going to be back deep along with A.J. Satcher. So different return men into the game for the Gannon Golden Knights now.
Well, after that disaster on that last one where you had a return man retreating in the end zone and brings it out, I don't blame the Gannon coaching staff for making some changes. Try to send a message to these kids.
Jake Chepla will kick it off from his own 35-yard line. Here comes the boot. And it's a good one. It's going to send. They're not even going to retrieve it. It's going to hit one bounce backside of the end zone and go back for a touchback. So unretrievable was the football. And that means Gannon will start out first and 10 at their own 35 with 35 seconds remaining.
So if you're Gannon, do you even try anything here, or do you just kneel and go into the halftime and start making some adjustments? I don't know what happened on that first series where Gannon moved it right down the field, and then ever since then, they might have negative yardage ever since that drive.
Yeah, honestly. Especially in the running back scenario. The two big runs by Callaway. There you go.
So, yeah, ever
there's
since that negative 1 yard. How do you like
flag,
that? How do you like that mental that math up here, huh? 75 yards on that first drive. Ever since then, negative 1, 7, negative 13, 9, negative 16. That's insane. Wow.
That's awesome job by the Rock defense.
Thank you, John Holtz, by the way.
Yep. So pre-snap penalty moves Gannon backward as they now are going to be first and 15 at their own 20. And the Rock is offside. But right away, the fingers are pointed. Jeff Marks was in the backfield.
We are not going to end this first half. We want to keep going.
Hey, let's see. Is it motion? Yep, false start by Gannon, and they're going to move back another 5. Right away, Jeff Marks was in the backfield, and he immediately started pointing at the right guard.
The line of scrimmage has been so heavily dominated by the Rock defense today. You know, I get it. These Gannon offensive linemen are just kind of a little triggery right now because they know they're getting beat.
Here's a handoff. Nope, it's a fake. Callaway keeps it, fakes it to Jones, and if he would have handed it off, I think he might have got positive yardage for a change. But instead, Callaway tries to get some of the penalty yardage back and is knocked out of bounds as he, let's see where they spot it. They got it to the 18, so he'll pick up 3.
He had 3 different Gannon offensive linemen finish Slippery Rock players down to the turf well away from the action on that play. And the Slippery Rock sideline furious that there was no flag thrown. And I get it. I'd be looking for a flag, too.
29 seconds. The clock stops. Now it'll be a handoff to Jones, who tries to kick it to the outside. And here comes a flag in on the play, and he's actually going to go backward again. Marcus Jones will lose another yard.
This time we do have a flag coming in, and it came from the head official in the back behind the quarterback there. So we'll see what the call is. It's frustration. These offensive linemen have been getting beat so bad today that they're just frustrated. And maybe a frustration penalty there.
Is it maybe a hands to the face? They haven't gotten the call. taking a lot of time discussing. Another penalty against Gannon. Third one in this series.
Wow.
Some things unraveling.
I don't get what Gannon's doing here. I'm not saying they should give up, but just go into halftime and make some adjustments. I mean, what are they trying to do? Why aren't they just taking a knee here with 20 seconds to go in the first half, down by 20? Just take a knee, go into the halftime, and, you know, start whiteboarding a little bit. But they're trying to do something here.
Well, like Molly Hatchett once sang, they're flirting with disaster at the moment because they've now spotted the ball inside the nine after three consecutive penalties. And now they'll hand it off to Jones, and he's going to run right into the awaiting arms of Chad Kuhn and lose another yard.
Here comes the late flag.
Another flag comes in late. They lose another yard on the ground.
And I think this is going to go against, again, the Gannon offensive line. Here, we'll see if we can spot it. As one of the offensive linemen comes in late after this play, look, right there. And, yep, just throws a little uppercut into the chops of, I believe that was Tim Suave. No, Jeff Marks.
Yeah,
and they're going to get called for that.
And the crazy thing is, as they take that lineman off the field now, the crazy thing is he did it right in front of the umpire. The umpire had no other choice but to throw that flag. Fourth flag on this series. We still have 5 seconds to go. This series started with 35 seconds remaining in the opening half.
We're going to have a third down and, well, maybe the field to go by the time this is all said and done. Eventually they're going to run out of space.
Yeah, they got Alex Corhorn, and they take Corhorn off the field, and now that's going to spin the clock.
There's a 10-second runoff for the penalty against the offense, so they'll just, and Coach Lutz is fine with that. He just wants this half to end. So.
Yep, they run it off, and the Rock will go into the locker room with a 27-7 lead.
We got the two coaches right here. Lutz is yelling across the field. Rizicki's yelling back. The referee's in between the two.
Yeah, got a little little discussion going on. And I think more than anything, it was Coach Lutz wanted to speak to a couple of the referees. So we'll go to halftime. We'll be back to recap the opening half and the scoring, and then recap the first half of this season, the Rock season that is taking them to the state championship game next week. It's 27-7 at halftime. We'll return in a moment here on The Rock Station, 97.7.